Welcome to These Are Good Days with Lee Ann Miller
and Matt Barris.
Well, Matt, Taylor Swift has come out with a new album, and she does talk about her boyfriend's, you know, what?
You know, I don't need to know. Like, maybe she's proud. I don't know what the motivation
is. I'm sure he's proud.
Well, I just don't know. I have not heard any of the songs. I haven't listened to any.
There's a couple real bops.
You know, Taylor Swift is very similar to The Summer I Turned Pretty for me. Like, she's great. Like, yes. Good for her. I don't listen to it.
I've been to two of her concerts, and I absolutely love it.
But why does it have to be so naughty? So many, I'm gonna push back just a minute. So many little girls listen to her.
Well, I wouldn't want Remy singing a song about Travis Kelce's private.
She's not going to.
Yeah, so, yeah, that is a good...
Sorry.
You know, it is a good point. You have a point, but there is some really good songs, some real bops on there.
I don't know. I've read a lot about it.
You have?
Yeah, I've read people online that are like... I don't know if my little girl needs to listen to that.
Well, and you know what? These are choices that Taylor is making that could change the audience, her listening audience, and her fan base, too.
Ironically, I don't know if I should say this. You know,
you can say it.
There was a psychologist that was talking about how Taylor Swift impacts culture and how it's going to, the fear is that this is going to encourage men to feel inadequate about their bodies and go start talking to their doctors.
Oh,
about things.
I hope.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, Daryl won't.
No, neither will I.
He's not paying attention. I'm fine. He's like Taylor who?
I know. And she's marrying an NFL football player. Like, we don't measure up. I don't have his pecs or biceps. Like, ain't nobody care. Whatever.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
You know what?
That.
Good for you, Taylor. You count your money, girl. You just count your money and kiss your football player. Like, good for you. I don't know.
Well.
Hey. You.
Yes, yes.
Are you ready to tell us your good day?
Yes.
Okay. I want to hear your good day first, because mine, I think it kind of leads into our topic.
Okay.
But we have a couple things too. We have a lot to talk about actually.
My good day was actually good evening.
Oh.
We went to a wedding.
Okay.
And you know, listen, Mr. D and I just, we don't get out much.
You don't get out much. You guys love those recliners. You love like the History Channel and like Loggers in Canada.
Yes.
Like Troutman.
We like Gold Rush.
Yeah, I don't even know.
We just love home.
Yeah.
So we went to a wedding. Our dear friends, their oldest daughter got married at a beautiful, it was a beautiful setting. There were about 200 people there. So it was good for me to go to that wedding because it's about the same size as our boys' weddings.
And yours is coming up.
It's coming like a steamroller. And so it was good for me to go. It was also good for me to go just to kind of get in the, I guess, in the mood or in the spirit of things. But what I loved about this wedding, I mean, besides the food and just the absolute setting was all just gorgeous, was the officiant.
Mm.
The man who married them was the groom's dad.
Yeah.
I don't know whether he was a pastor or a preacher, but he was so endearing. And I loved some of the things that he talked about.
Yeah.
The main thing he talked about was that he had been thinking for so many weeks about to love and to cherish. Mm-hmm. And he was thinking about the word cherish. And he's like, you are getting ready to say those words to each other. You're getting ready to make the commitment that you will love and cherish each other till death do you part.
Yeah.
And so he started researching the word cherish and what it meant. And it was so good. I was sitting there, I told Daryl, I was sitting there like, I wish I had a recording of this, or I wish I could remember everything. But a couple of the things that I remember is he said that cherish means to adore.
Hmm.
to adore each other. It means to admire each other, which also translates to respecting one another. Mm-hmm. And it means to appreciate one another. And it means to always have each other's back. It was just so good.
And how weddings
get you. And there's something about hearing that. You know, we've been married 34 years coming this December. And I told Daryl that night, I said, when he was talking, I felt that for us.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I felt that for us. Like,
do you think weddings are good for you to go to, even as a married couple?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
We haven't been to one in a long time, and you're giving us two this year. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. It just reminds us of our beginning.
Sure.
It reminds us of, you know, depending on who marries you, it reminded me that to cherish each other is an important thing.
Yeah.
And he talked about how, you know, to have fun together. It was just really so good. It was such great reminders. And that was my good day.
That's awesome. Well, I'll tell you my good day. My good day was so good. You know, we talk about the days of like normal, ordinary, being extraordinary and all that stuff. And all that's great.
Yes.
But sometimes it's fun to have like a really, really good time.
Like an extravagant good
time.
Yes. Listen, but let's just talk about this for 1 second.
What?
Last week was a rough week for you. And we won't go into details, but there were hard things at work. You know,
totally.
There are things that go on at our schools that people really have no idea.
Sure.
And you had a tough week at school.
It was hard.
And you also had a rewarding week because your team, you know, you put that on Instagram.
Yeah, the team that I work with
so proud of your team.
So good. Yeah.
And to have a tough week and then to have a great time, I think that just feels like so good.
And you know, we talk about like having things on the calendar because those you're going to have the hard weeks. Mm-hmm. And we had this weekend planned for since last calendar year.
Wow.
And
well,
so,
because
we had such a great weekend in Cleveland. The main event was we went to go see the comedian Nate Bargatze. Nate Bargatze, if you are listening, this is something really sweet. I don't know why I'm starting to cry. I don't know Nate Bargatze, but you know, he's one of those guys that we've watched for quite a while.
We've watched him grow.
He went up. So they had some opening acts. Before he went up, they played a montage of stuff from him from the last 20 years. Cause you know, he's probably about, I think he's 46. He has been at it for 20 years.
Wow.
And I think when you see someone like that, that comes on the scene, you think, wow, like, he just struck it big and good for him.
Overnight success.
He really isn't an overnight success. He has been at it for 20 years and he is reaping the benefits of it.
He is so funny.
Actually, he shared in a funny way in his stand-up that because his life has changed so dramatically, he and his wife are now in marriage counseling. And he was so funny about it. And he was like, don't write to the tabloids. We're not getting divorced. But he's like, you know, my life's changed a little bit in the last 5 years. Like, things are very different.
Yeah.
But anyway, they showed this montage of him. And it was this really funny thing. You know how I kind of give you a hard time for telling younger people that you're proud of them and that kind of thing?
Yeah.
I was like, I am so proud of him.
Yes.
Like, it was cool to see the old videos of him before he got up on stage.
Yes.
Anyway, Nate Bargatze is hilarious. Something I love about him is he is a comedian who is a Christian. He's not a Christian comedian. So Homeboy sold out Rocket Mortgage Arena. It's one of I think he has a Guinness World Record for largest stand-up comedy shows right now. Largest audiences. So he appeals to everyone, but his comedy is not cheap shots. It's not crass.
It's not raunchy.
He's just good. Unlike,
he's not talking about private parts.
He's not Taylor Swift. He keeps it much cleaner than T-Swift. So that was the main event, but we made a weekend of it with two of our best friend couples. And so the six of us went up to Cleveland, and I'm going to tell you these places. And I literally wrote down their names because they're amazing.
Okay. Before you tell me the places, you have to tell me this. Did you earnestly belly laugh?
Oh my word, yes.
Okay.
Tears down my face.
I love that. Yeah, that's great.
And you know, the people I was with also makes the difference.
Yes, because they were laughing too.
First of all, Mallory is a great laugher.
She is.
She doesn't hold back.
No, she does not.
But our friends, in particular, Skyline Eric was in the group. He is a loud laugher,
AKA,
and that's fun.
AKA Hibachi Eric.
Right.
He goes by both.
And also our friend Kayla is also a loud laugher. And so like we just busted a gut all night. It was so fun.
Yeah, so good.
So around this weekend, we went to some really cool places. So the first place we went to that I want to let you guys know about is Paradise Galleria in Cleveland. It is like a vintage shop that is like... It's a vintage shop that's listening. Just curated so cool. It's so unique. And okay. I posted a reel of some of the shots on my Instagram.
Okay. I have a question.
Yeah.
When you share these locations, are you going to put them in the show notes?
I'm putting them in the show notes.
Okay. Thank God.
The next
in
one.
The show.
Wait.
The show notes.
They will be waiting for you. We went to a bookstore called Loganberry Books that is like this old vintagey. It looks like Bell's House or Bell's Library from Beauty and the Beast. Very cool. We went to Little Italy. We had good food at a restaurant called Mia Bella, which was so good. I had like this truffle pasta. Don't get me started. We went to this place called Powerhouse Collective.
Okay.
It's like a vintage shops place as well. And then one of the last places we went to was this place called 16-Bit Arcade.
Okay.
That is a, it's a 80s themed.
Okay.
I use the term bar loosely because it's big and open.
It has, when you say arcade, that means like video games like Pac-Man. And
it has free video games.
Get out of here. That's
but you can order food too. You can order food and
where
drinks.
Were those free video games when my children were teenagers? They were not around. We were putting in those tokens like crazy.
But that's, you know, awesome. What? It was just one of those reminders of like, do stuff, have stuff planned. And it doesn't always have to be big and crazy and fun. But have stuff on the calendar because life gets hard, and to have those breaks is awesome.
Yes, which leads us to our topic, which is
whimsy. Yes. But before we get there, we have a couple other things to talk about.
Oh, okay.
You know, we have segments every now and then.
Oh, we do.
This is a place of joy. This
yes,
is a place
is.
Of happiness.
Yes, we always talk about like good times, good days.
But we also have hard times, and we want to talk sometimes about things that grind our gears.
Yes,
Leanne, what's grinding your gears
right now?
Okay, listen,
I just have one.
Tell me.
I just have one thing, and it's a story.
Okay.
And if these two people are listening that I had the interaction with, good.
Oh, no. I don't even know what you're going to say.
Good. I went into a local business. Now, listen, we were business owners.
Yeah.
Dee and I were business owners for many years. I grew up in a family business.
Right. You did.
Okay. I went into this local business in an effort. I was as happy as a lark going into that business. But when I went to go in, their trash was getting ready to spill out onto the sidewalk and onto the entrance. Their trash was almost overflowing. Now, when I walked in, there were two people standing at the cash registers talking. They were just standing there talking. There were no customers around. There was no line. I was saying this in front of no one except for the two of them. And I said, hey. And they said, hey, welcome. And I said, hey, I just want to let y'all know, in case you don't know, that your garbage is ready to spill out onto the entrance and the sidewalk. It is ready to just bust and overflow.
Yeah, I would be thankful.
And
to
there's
know.
Like drinks and, you know, it's just like the kind of garbage you don't want to be picking up.
Right.
And they just looked at me like I shouldn't have been saying it. And they were like, well, thanks. And I said, well, I just wanted to keep you from a bigger mess.
That's
and
right.
And so I went to walk away. And I was about 25, 30 steps away. And she got on the intercom thing and said, paging, and it said the person's name, customer complaint about garbage outside. And you know, Matt.
You turned around.
I'm 57 now.
You turned around.
And I was like, now, no. No. And I turned around and I walked back 30 steps and I said, hey, excuse me. I said, I was not complaining.
Oh, you got guts,
I said,
girl.
I said, you can keep that trash just the way it is if you'd like.
That's gutsy.
I said, I am not complaining. I actually was trying to be helpful to you while customers weren't around.
Yeah.
Because it was going to be a bigger mess to clean up than it already is now. I was not complaining. I want to be clear. I was not complaining because I wanted the lady that was called over the intercom to know that I was not complaining.
Right, right.
And I knew that the two that were standing there were pointing toward me, like customer complaining, like I was the one complaining. I'm like, no, you're not going to do that. I'm 57 now.
Like, and don't tell me.
Because listen to what would happen to me 10 years ago or 15 years ago. I would have let that go and I would have stewed about it for days. And I would have been like, I would have been ticked off that she said I was complaining. I'm like, no. I'm just going to turn right back around. I said, so.
Girl, you gussy. You is gussy. So,
something that grinds my gears is overflowing trash at a commercial establishment. And I think it's only good form to go in and say to the manager or the hostess or somebody working in there privately, quietly, not over a walkie-talkie where the store's hearing.
Right.
Like, and just to say, hey, I thought I'd let you know.
Right.
You know, because I've cleaned up those messes before. They're not fun.
No.
Okay. So that's it.
No, but also what grinds your gear about that even more is don't misrepresent me.
Not only just misrepresent, but 100% misunderstand me, misquote me, misrepresent me. I know that's a thing for you too.
Oh, it's one of my biggest things.
I'm like, I was not, and listen, here's another thing. They knew that I was not complaining. Yeah. They knew it. I was not complaining.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is. They're transferring the way that they felt and putting it on you instead of them, because they don't want to ask that person to do it.
Well, and because bottom line, so also, they don't want to do it.
Right. Why didn't they do it?
Yeah.
Listen, and I am not saying this to toot my own horn, but maybe it'll come across like that. And if you know me, you know I'm not meaning this like this. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. And listen.
And nobody today, see it. Nobody rewards you. Just that's do right. it.
Let me tell you what happened today at the schoolhouse. Two things. First of all, our janitor gets a break before the lunch rush.
As they should.
Because the janitor at lunchtime is a saint.
Oh,
The lunchroom.
Shout
and the
out to janitors everywhere.
It was janitorial services day last week, and our PTO gave them a nice little gift. But listen, so our janitor's on break, and a teacher calls down to the office and is like, hey, somebody barfed in the room. Well, listen, everybody was gone. Guess who was left in the office?
You.
I was the only person there. And I was like, here we go. Give me some gloves and I will go take care of it. And so sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
Greater good of the team.
And it communicates something to the teacher that you don't think you're better than everybody.
And it communicates something to the janitor.
Right. Like, I'm not going to call him from his break to come and clean it up. Like, I'm not better than him.
No, right.
And then about 2 hours later, somebody left some poopy pants in the girls' bathroom.
Oh.
And so one of my coworkers, we call her Clark, I guarded the bathroom for her, but she went and picked it up that time.
Okay.
So like sometimes you just gotta pick up the poopy pants and wipe up the bar.
Listen, and it's all about teamwork.
That's right. Teamwork makes the dream work. All right. What grinds my gears? Let me tell you what grinds my gears actually today. I bought this nice trail mix. I love trail mix.
Oh.
You know what I love about the trail mix? I love the nuts and chocolate.
Was it disproportionate?
It was. So I took a picture of it and I'll probably put it on Instagram today. I took a picture of my hand when I pulled it out of the bag because the ratio of nuts and chocolate to raisins was diabolical.
Oh.
It was actually diabolical. I was like,
did it grind your gears?
It so ground them. Who is pushing raisin propaganda on Americans right now? Why do we need to eat so many raisins? I want more nuts and more chocolate. And not happy about the diabolical amount of raisins in my trail mix right now.
I'm going to tell you what it has to do with. It has to do with the money.
Well, listen, you know what we should do right now? Let's talk about food. Because here's one thing we know. Walnut Creek Cheese and Market has some incredible trail mixes. And I will confess, this was not theirs.
Well,
this was a big box brand.
Well, I'll also tell you this.
It rhymes with schmal schmart. Schmate schmalu. It was schmate schmalu, schmal schmicks. I'm not going to say the name because I don't want them to sue me.
Okay, listen.
I wish we were big enough that we had to worry about people suing us, but we really don't have to worry about that.
Listen, I want to tell you, the thing about Walnut Creek Cheese and Market is that not only do they have great things like that, but the prices are also great.
That's right. In these times,
we are getting ready to do a grazing table or a large charcuterie table for cocktail hour at the wedding.
Yeah, that's
and right. Guess where I'm going and guess where I'm getting everything.
You better get you Wanaker, a cooler.
Wanaker Cheese and Market. I got a that's big right. Yeti and we're going to, your mom is helping me prep everything.
Of course she is.
The Thursday before the wedding, we're going to cut up the cheese and cut, and you know, I'm going to do a little trail bologna as a nod to Wanaker Cheese and Market in Amish country. And that is the place to get just wonderful dips, wonderful crackers, wonderful fruit
and
nuts. The meat and cheese and nuts. Terrific.
I know. So like, don't make my mistake and get a diabolical amount of raisins. It's just so sad.
You like that word diabolical?
It is
right
because
now.
It expresses like, it's not just frustration. It's actually a conspiracy. It's people love a conspiracy theory and here's mine.
And here it is.
People are shoving raisins down our throats and you might not even know.
Listen, we love Walnut Creek Cheese and Market. We love Walnut Creek Foods. We loved them long before they became a sponsor, but we are so thankful that they are in this with us. They're going to play a part in our live event.
Yeah,
we have a live
right.
event coming November 21st and 22nd. You can get on The show notes. There'll be a link to our live event. Our live event is going to be different this year because we are starting off on Friday night in our little historic downtown Worcester.
That's right.
Window Wonderland.
Like
it's so fun.
If you're the type of person that loves a Hallmark movie in the winter, you need to come and visit
it's
us.
It's like ushering in the holidays.
That's right.
We're going to tool around on Friday night. If you can't spend Friday night with us and you still buy a ticket for the live recording, you can just show up at the Nest on Saturday night.
That's
we're going to record a live podcast, a full one, and then we're going to record a bonus episode. Yeah.
We'll have meet and greets. We'll have time to hang out, all that fun stuff.
And then also, people can still join our Patreon.
That's right.
You can join our Patreon.
We have 82 people right now on Patreon.
Amazing.
How exciting is that?
So exciting. And you can join Patreon and you can find the link in the show notes.
I have so many links to do.
Yeah, you have so many links.
I'm going to be up so late making links. All right. Hey, today we have been talking a lot. Mm-hmm. But we actually do have a topic today.
Yes.
Our topic is live whimsy. A life of whimsy. Here's where this came from. This actually came from a video on Instagram months ago. We've actually been talking about this topic for a while. That I sent to you was this guy that's just like, be whimsical, be crazy, be fun. And you know, I think the more that I think about that, for me, here's what it means. Life can feel really heavy.
Oh, sure.
You know, we talked about my work, which I can't really talk about it in detail.
Of course, no.
But you know, in a school setting, we're working with kids that come from all different kinds of homes. You know, every walk of life walks in the door to public school, which is honestly part of the reason why I'm proud to work there. For public school teachers.
Yes.
We get every child that lives in our district. And we see all types of different families and different situations, and life can feel really hard. You know, couple that with news, couple that with just life, with medical diagnoses, people passing away.
Mm-hmm.
There was actually a really sweet family whose dog passed away last Friday. They came and picked up their kids at lunch, took them home to say goodbye to the dog, and the vet was going to be at their house. Like, life is just happening, whether it's the big stuff or just the little stuff. Because to a second grader, that's the huge stuff.
Yes.
And so living a life of whimsy and having fun really takes the edge off of how hard life can feel sometimes.
Yes. And you know, there's someone I follow on Instagram. I think she goes by Shannon Wrights. She wrote the book. Oh, let me see. Hold on. Stand by. It's Shannon. Yeah. Shannon Wrights. And she's an author. And she actually has a book coming out called Counterweights. She calls it Counterweights. She says that we all need counterweights in our life to counterweight the heavy and the hard. What are the counterweights? And so we were talking about like ways we can live whimsical. And
we should
how
get
we can,
her to talk about
we
that.
Should.
We need because, to get her here.
Yes, because she, listen, when I think about what I do to counteract when I'm feeling heavy, mm-hmm. I have a couple things. I wrote them down. I took notes this time because this is important to me, because I think that sometimes we tell ourselves, well, that's just not my personality.
Right, right.
Well, the truth is, it doesn't matter what kind of personality you have. We are all going to face heavy and hard.
Right.
And so some of the ways that I feel like living whimsy, how it can look, is do something fun for yourself.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be Nate. What's his last name?
Bargatze.
Oh, yes. And we went as a family to Medea.
Oh, my that gosh. So we talked fun. About we that this weekend.
But it doesn't have to be big things like that. You know, go get a special ice cream cone.
Right, right.
It doesn't have to be huge. And get it dipped in hard shell.
Yeah.
Go and get yourself, you know what I did not long ago? Hmm. I like to do this about 3 times a year. Hmm. I go buy myself a grocery store white cake. and there doesn't have to be a reason.
I love it.
There doesn't have to be a
reason.
I know
you've shared them with me before.
There doesn't have to be a reason. I'm the reason.
Right. You are. Like, you deserve a cake.
I just go, and if I'm hungry for that white cake, I go get a white cake. I share it. I sit down with a big old piece of it for supper.
Sure.
And that, to me, is like living whimsical.
100%. You know, when you think about the concept of whimsy, we tell ourselves it might be irresponsible or it might be childish, but truthfully, it's about cultivating a playful, lighthearted, and curious approach to the world. Mm. It's finding the magic in the mundane, embracing the wonder in the world. And I think, you know, someone told me this once, because I think I struggled as a young leader to find my place in being myself, but also being taken seriously. Mm. I think I've struggled with that over the years. And I think as I've gotten older,
you're 40.
If my coworkers that are listening to this, that have been with me in the last 5 years, probably know, like, I've really become myself the last couple years at work.
Yes.
I've always been myself, like, at home and, yes, like, yes, in our friendship. Yes. But I've really just been, like, I is who I is.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
But I think there's a difference between taking life seriously and taking yourself too seriously. So this is the way that I frame it, is you can take your work seriously, but you don't have to take yourself seriously. Mm. Like the things that you do in life, whether the things like take your motherhood seriously, take your marriage seriously, you know, take your work seriously, even take your hobby seriously, but don't take yourself so seriously that you can't laugh at yourself, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That you can't have fun, that when you maybe make a mistake, you can't chuckle, you know, so you can take life seriously, but you don't have to take yourself too seriously.
Right. Well, and I also think when you have heavy weeks like the one you had last week, if you wouldn't have had this weekend planned, my encouragement to you as a friend would have been, do something that's fun.
Yeah.
Do something. Go downtown Worcester to the farmer's market. Go to the co-op and buy some awesome sourdough bread. Like, do something. Right. Do something that shifts the feeling. Like, sometimes we have to be intentional about the fun.
Totally.
One thing that helps me, and I know it helps you, doesn't always help me. I don't always do it. I have to be kind of in the mood, but music.
Oh, same.
Music can shift the way you're feeling. It can bring whimsy and joy. Like, there is one song on that new Taylor Swift album that I had the top down. Now, listen, not everybody has
a little... Is it a naughty one or is it a good one?
No, it's not a naughty one.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
Would you let Remy listen to it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
So today I put the top down. And I had some not so fun things to do. I had to go get blood work done. Ugh. I just had some not fun things to do.
Just like doldrums.
And I thought, I'm going to put the top down.
Yeah.
I'm going to take back country roads to the place I'm getting my blood work done. Then I'm going to pick out a cute coffee shop to go to afterwards. I'm going to be intentional about this harder than normal day. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to plan some fun things around it. We have to be intentional about our fun.
Totally.
So listen, if you're listening and you think, life has been so hard for me, life has been heavy lately, think about something that you can do for yourself. It doesn't have to be big. It can be little. And go buy a corn dog. Go do something fun and different that can help you feel like you're pulling out of it. Like you're doing something to just shift your brain.
Right. Did you know there's actually an organization in America called the National Institute of Play? And they conduct research on play for adults, mm-hmm. how important it is. There's so actually smart. Someone, I think he was in a like an entrepreneurial group you were in, that does things with Legos for business people.
So awesome.
He used to work
for Chick-fil-A. And he said Chick-fil-A was the best place he'd ever worked for. Mm-hmm. And that when
they have an incredible culture.
And that when he was being called to go out on his own, when he went to his boss to tell him that he was quitting to give his notice, he cried.
Aww.
Because he felt the most accepted and allowed to just run with ideas
right.
at Chick-fil-A, which I thought was a cool thing.
So what's his whole angle of what he does, the work that he does now?
The angle is like taking a group of people, like say your team, mm-hmm. who normally does a lot of the same things day in, day out.
Right.
And he puts them in a room with Legos to build things because it just shifts their focus. It gives them some fun. Yeah. It gives them some different things to do with their brain. And, you know, I think sometimes, now listen, this is true for all of us. Sometimes when we're in the thick of hard and we're in the thick of heavy, sometimes we were going through stuff even with our boys. Mm-hmm. It felt like I was drowning in it. It felt like if I was the one listening to this podcast, I'd be like, well, you have no idea.
we've all been.
Yeah, what's going on with my life right now? I don't. And that's why it's important. It's important that you listen to a voice outside of your situation that says, go treat yourself. Go to TJ Maxx and buy yourself a new shirt.
Right, right.
Go to Dick's and buy yourself a new pair of walking shoes.
Right.
Just go do something that feels like, this feels whimsical to me. This feels fun to me. Mm-hmm. This feels like something that is kind to me in a hard time.
Totally. So here's what happens when we play. So this research for National Institute of Play tells us some important things, why play is actually important for adults. Here's a couple things. The first one is that it reduces your stress. So play triggers the release of endorphins. This is the body's natural feel-good chemicals that we have. And it can lower stress hormones like cortisol. Mm. The next one is it improves our brain function and our creativity. So, you know, engaging in playful activities like solving puzzles, building things maybe like Legos, or doing something with your hands like embroidery, or even cooking is really creative. Crochet, whatever it is, any art things like that can improve our cognitive flexibility and problem-solving skills, and it helps us think outside the box. I love this one. Play also helps our emotional resilience. So listen, this is so critical to me. A playful mindset helps us reframe difficult situations with humor and a more positive outlook. It allows us to adapt to new situations and cope with setbacks more effectively. So here's what that means to me, is when things feel heavy, when you have things that are lighthearted, let's say you are approaching a situation that you don't have a resolution to, that you're just like, maybe it's a family situation or something with your children or in your marriage, or it just feels hard and you don't, there's just constant tension there. Having the moments to step out of that and do something completely different, uses a different part of your brain, might help you see things. You might come back to it with a fresh perspective, oh, maybe that part I can work on that one part, or, you know, it might help you see it from a different perspective to break it down in a different way.
Yes.
So it helps your emotional resilience. And the last thing is it improves relationship. Listen to this in light of me going to a comedy concert with my wife and four of our friends. Sharing laughter and fun in community with others builds trust, intimacy, and a sense of connection. Mm. Play is a powerful way to foster empathy and strengthen your social bonds.
Love it.
I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, love it.
Because when you have, truthfully, I know this might sound really woo-woo, but laughter and the action of laughter is vulnerable.
Yeah,
it actually is a vulnerable thing. And so to share a moment of laughter or to share an inside joke with someone, or to have those moments where you're like, ooh, we did this together. And, you know, we've even since we've been home from our weekend with our friends, I actually texted them a picture of my trail mix and Skyline Eric. and Kayla both within seconds text, I don't know where they got these, texted a picture of just M&Ms, and they're like, I don't know, my trail mix is fine. And then Eric's wife just had a handful of wrapped candy, and she's like, I bought my trail mix at Costco and it looks like this. Those little glimpses in life, in the middle of me cleaning up barf and picking up poopy pants. Those little inside jokes with people that you love and trust, and having a sense of whimsy about life in that regard, makes life feel lighter and makes all the, you know, we can't solve all the problems all at the same time, but it does help us feel, my ear is getting hot. It does help us with having just taking a step back, relaxing a little bit and enjoying it. Okay. You gave us some of the things that you do. Do you have any other ones? Because I have a list of stuff. Because I love your notes.
Thanks. The last thing that I'll share that I think is important, especially if you're in a tough time, when it comes to whimsy or having fun, is to say things out loud.
Yeah.
You should have just seen me singing today with top down. And also saying the things that I just were overflowing out of my heart.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful right now. I was just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Creator. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for this upcoming wedding. Thank you for these rolling hills full of green grass and beautiful harvest. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
80 degrees these days.
Yes. I mean, thank you. So I think saying things out loud helps our brain just lock it in.
And it might feel weird, but just do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Okay, listen, here's some of my tips. These are some practical things you can do. If you're like, Matt, I am not whimsical. I am type A. I'm an Excel spreadsheet whiz. And you're asking me to scream in a convertible to Taylor Swift songs about unmentionables. No. But listen, we can all do some of these things. Listen to this. Turn the mundane things of life into magic. This is a suggestion that I got from the internet that I think is actually really funny. It's narrate your chores or the things in life like you're in a movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I do that sometimes.
Do you know my brain actually works like an SNL sketch where I think of like the next thing someone's going to do, but it's usually like a camera angle up close. What are they going to say? Well, so what if you reframed your brain to look like that?
Yeah, I like that.
Here's another one. Add playful elements to your environment.
Yes.
You know,
that's so important for your kids.
Totally.
Too.
You know what, whether it's, I love that this is a trend right now, is silly doormats. If you go to like a TJ Maxx kind of place, they'll have doormats that are silly. Get a silly doormat that says something silly or that has a pun, or put string lights up in your house or find something quirky at an art show or like at TJ Maxx.
Sure.
Make your environment that's around you playful, or honestly put up silly pictures of your family. If it would help you, take a photo shoot with your kids. Have them make silly faces and print off pictures.
Change your screensaver to something fun and silly.
Mine's Mickey Mouse with my family. Engage in creative hobbies. We've talked about hobbies a lot here, but pick up a hobby like painting or writing or an instrument, not with the goal of being an expert, but just enjoying the process of doing it.
Getting a cake.
You know, my mom in her retirement era.
Yes, I love it.
She's taking watercolor classes. Yes, she's taking pottery classes.
I love it.
Like find
and
things like that
so
to do.
And she's so good at it too.
She is so good at it. I was just going to say how funny it would be if I was like, my mom's actually making a mug for everyone that comes to our live event. Mom, I'm not committing that for you. Now she will, because that's how she is. Dressing whimsical. So like something I love about you is your glasses. My wife also loves glasses.
Yeah, I like zany
like
glasses.
Find something like that, that every day you go, I like those earrings.
Spunky.
Here's the last two. Break your routines. So take a different route on your walk. Have dessert nights at home.
Go drive a different way to work with the windows down.
Yeah, that's right. Just do something different and break up your routine. And the last thing is infuse play into your everyday relationships. So maybe that's have a themed dinner night with your kids.
Well, infusing play into everyday relationships looks like the text messages y'all
100%.
Did about snack mix. Yes.
100%. Yep. All right. Here's what I want to end with for me. The founder of the National Institute of Play, his name is Stuart Brown. And here's what he says about play. The opposite of play is not work. It's actually depression. Mm. You know, we think the opposite of play is work. I'm either working or I'm playing. But truly, the opposite of play is depression. It's getting stuck in a mindset and a mind, you know, a frame of mind that is not positive and is not great. So my encouragement to you is to find time to play, no matter your age, because it matters. Mm-hmm. And take your work seriously. Take your life seriously. Yes. Take your finances seriously. No one's saying be reckless. But don't take yourself so seriously enough that you can't let your hair down and play. Right. So play with your friends, play with your family.
Be whimsical.
Be whimsical. You know, whether ordinary or extraordinary, we hope you see that these are good days.
This episode brought to you by Walnut Creek Foods.